Good morning seems inadequate. Blessed morning. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been hearing how we might pray through the Psalms the last few weeks with the sermon messages, and we're going to look again today at Psalm 119. And just a reminder, Psalm 119 is divided up into 22 sections. There's 8 verses in each of those sections, and each corresponding with a letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And Psalm 119, I mean, nearly every section, I think probably every section somewhere, refers to the Word of God. This is really a psalm that shines a light on the Word of God. And today we're going to look at the 5th section. So this is verses 33 through 40. As we look at this and see what God wants us to see and pray through this psalm, I think about my good desires that God gives me. I want to be a blessing to other people. Yeah. I want God to work through me, to love people through me, and to bless them in a way that I can't do. And I think that you want that too. And I want to have an impactful life. You know, I want to have a life that means something for Christ. And for that to happen, I need to be a godly person. I need the Lord to do a work in me. And you need that as well. And you know, it is not easy. It's not easy living the Christian life. It's not easy being dedicated to Christ day after day. It's very difficult to want to live a holy life in a very unholy world. But that's what I want. I think it's a good desire. I want to be a godly person. I want to know Christ more. I want to make Christ known. And I was thinking about what is a godly person, reading through this passage, and how we would identify what a godly person is. And I would say, and this is certainly a very limited definition, if it's even that, but certainly we could say more, but a godly person certainly is somebody who knows God. It's somebody who knows God for themselves in a personal way, that God has revealed himself to them through Christ Jesus. And as we come to know Christ, we get to know ourselves in light of who he is. And as you get to know Christ and you get to know yourself, who you are in him, you start to understand, even as he's changing us, even as we have his Spirit and we're in his family now, we have his Word, there's a bit of a gap between who he is and who I am. But I understand that he's a good God. And he's provided for our needs. And one of the wonderful, wonderful provisions from our Savior is the Word of God. The Word of God that he's given us. And so we're going to look at this section here in Psalm 119, and we're going to consider 4 prayers of a godly person. And these are all really in light of who we are in Christ. A godly person, you know, we learn about our identity in Christ, the living Word, through him revealing himself in the written Word, and what he desires for us and our identity in him. And then we need to pray accordingly. We need to pray according to what the Word of God says about who we are. And maybe that's a new idea for you today, but we're going to look and see 4 ways that a godly person, that I long to be, and I think you long to be, how we might identify ourselves based upon what the Word of God says, and how we might pray in keeping with what the Word of God says. So let's start in verse 33. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. The first thing I'd like us to see this morning from the Word of God is that a godly person is a sojourner. A godly person is a sojourner. If you're not familiar with that term, it means a wayfarer or a pilgrim. It's somebody who is traveling or visiting or in a land that really is not home to them. And that's us. As we are traveling through this world, we are a people who are in a world that we're on a journey, but this is not our destination. Sometimes I think in terms of destinations. I think in terms of, you know, God has planted me here and he has for a season and he's going to take me home to heaven and I'm so excited about that. But we're on a journey as believers and we're wanderers through this world and we're not to be too comfortable here or too settled here. I think about in Hebrews 11, there's that Hall of Fame of great saints and the people of great faith. And God's word says in Hebrews 11 and verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. So they had promises of God. They're looking forward in faith. They're believing God, taking him at his word. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. And I think about those great men and women of faith, and I'm like, man, I have the same great, awesome God doing a work in my life, and I want to be a person of strong faith in my Savior just as they were people of great faith, and I want to recognize and understand and remember I am a foreigner and a stranger in this world, and I need to live that way as the Word of God says. You know, like all the great godly people that came before us, we are sojourners on the earth. This is not our final destination. There's an old Jim Reeves song from a generation past, "This World Is Not My Home." Does anybody else remember that? "I'm just a passing through." It's true. There's treasures laid up for me somewhere beyond the blue, that song said. And we need to understand that we are not home yet. This world, we can't feel at home yet in this world, that we are wayfarers, we're sojourners. And as travelers, you know, for me, I need directions. If I'm going to make my way through this world and there's so many things that to me are unknown and uncertain or maybe prone to cause me anxiety, but my Lord already knows every situation I'm going to walk into. And he's already made provision for me, but I need to follow his directions through this world. And so here the psalmist says that he is asking God, guide me. Guide me, God. I need you to guide me. Guide me in your ways. And he promises, he says, God, if you will guide me in your ways, I'm going to follow your directions. I'm going to do what you say in your word. And he wants to do that faithfully. As a sojourner, God's word, it's like a guide, it's like a path in a way that's laid out before us, and it's to be followed. It's to be followed, and God's word is a certain way for us. You know, this is like a wilderness sometimes going through this world, and it's a dangerous place. It's a hostile place to those who are children of God, but we need to understand that if we follow God's directions, he doesn't say the path is going to be easy. But he says, if you will acknowledge me and if you will follow my ways and you will trust me and you'll follow my word, follow my directions, it is a sure way. It's not an easy way, but it's a certain way. And we need to do whatever it takes to remember God's directions. I know if I'm traveling, I'm so thankful for travel apps. And I still mess up. I mean, it's amazing how I can get lost when I have really clear directions. I don't know how I ever got anywhere I was supposed to before the technology when I was using the Rand McNally Road Atlas from Walmart. But, you know, we need to do whatever it takes for you to remember the Word of God, you need to do it. Whether that is just repetition, whether that's listening to it, whether that is writing it down, study, whatever you need to do, listening to music that is singing the Word of God to you, you need to do and I need to do whatever God says to know His directions. This needs to be implanted in our minds and in our hearts, and then we need to pay attention. When the Holy Spirit prompts you with the Word of God in a situation and He brings to remembrance something the Word of God says, we have got to listen and carefully follow what the Word says. Admittedly, there are times that the thing that gets in the way is me. It's my thinking, because God will bring to remembrance a particular verse, and I want to argue with, but this other verse says, or you know, I bring my own thinking into bearing and trying to wrestle with God and make sense of things when He just says, "Listen, just trust me here. I'm telling you what my word says. Just believe me. Just take me at my word." But that's tough to do. You know, part of the process of following God is a mortification of the flesh, to use an old school term. There's a dying to self that has to happen for you to obey. So the psalmist prays, he says, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees." Not just teach me your decrees, not just give me something to memorize, but he said, "I want to walk in this. There is a way of your decrees." We are sojourners. We need to understand this hostile world. God is leading us home, but we've got to follow what his word says. We've got to follow his directions. Understanding, listen, it's good. We need to hide the Lord's word in our hearts. We need to have knowledge of his word, but we need to understand it. So the psalmist prays, God, give me understanding. Lord, give me understanding. Not just a head full of knowledge, but he's saying, I want to really understand, God, who you are. I want to understand that this, your word, your commands, they flow out of your character, out of your nature. I want to understand you. I want to know your word and understand it. I think about the years that I had a flooring installation business. I used to install a lot of ceramic tile, and some of those jobs would be very intricate. I'd be working with angles and measurements and shapes and dimensions and distances and how these all fit together in a way. And it actually took me back to geometry class back in high school. I liked geometry. I really liked geometry class. It was one of my favorites because I learned about how all these things are principles. There's mathematic principles of why this angle, the square of this angle and the square of this angle equaling. So you know what I'm saying? Yeah, there's an understanding that it's not just a knowledge that these things work, but there's an understanding that there's a reason behind it. Well, the word of God is that way. And so the psalmist says, God, I want to really understand. I want to go beyond just a superficial knowledge of your word. God, I want to meditate on it. And I am praying, God, that you will give me understanding. Just a morsel of that understanding for the word of God. This is the Lord brought this to mind as the men were up here and we were praying a little while ago. You know, two things you can really count on with God's commands. Two goals he's always got in mind. He's about his glory. Right? When he's commanding you to do something, whether it makes sense to you or not, you need to understand he's about his glory and you need to obey. Because one way or another, whether you get what he's doing or not, he is going to glorify his name as we obey him, and we need to obey his word. But then he's working for our good. He's working for our good. There are times that he says, trust me in this situation, speak to this person in this situation, set aside that relationship, whatever it is, and you're like, God, I just don't understand. I see another way for your goodness in that. He's saying, listen, I'm doing a work in you for your good, but you need to obey me. You've got to obey me. You've got to listen. We need to understand God's word, and we need to follow it faithfully and obediently and completely. I don't know what the Lord would put on your heart to pray as a sojourner, something that he put on my heart as I was working through this. Lord, teach me, give me understanding that I may follow the directions in your word with all of my heart. With all of my heart. Maybe you can pray that today in your heart. God, teach me, give me understanding of your word. Put it in my heart. God, I want to obey your word with all my heart. But that's a work that we need him to do in us, to help us in that way. Verse 35, direct me in the path of your commands. For there I find my delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. A second thing for us to recognize today about a godly person is a soldier. A godly person is not only a sojourner, a godly person is a soldier. We're not only on a journey, we're in a battle. The psalmist realizes here that to keep his life in alignment with the word of God, it's going to be a struggle. Even though we're God's people, even though we have his spirit, even though he loves us, it is a battle. The Christian life takes discipline. It's difficult. It's hard. Can you imagine having to ask God to make you do something that you love to do? You know, I enjoy taking my grandkids to get ice cream. One, it's grandkids. Two, it's ice cream. and it's not a wrestling match. You know, they want to go if I invite them to go. If I invite them to hang out at the dinner table with Papaw and have broccoli and spinach, it's a harder sell, right? Because their heart's not in it. They really don't want to come to the dinner table and have veggies with me. But if I'm inviting them to cookies and Hershey's Kisses and ice cream, they're all about it. You know, they want to do that. So why must we be made to walk in a path that we delight in? Because we do have to be made to walk in a path that we delight in because we are not glorified yet. We're not in that state of utter Christ-likeness yet, that there is not one person reeling that we're dealing with in our heart, but there's two. There's an old man and there's the new man. There's the old woman and the new woman. And they fight, they battle the flesh against the spirit in Romans 7. Starting in verse 21, the Word of God says, I find this law at work, although I want to do good. Evil is right there with me, for in my being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, I am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. There is a new person in me. Praise God, I am so amazed by this. There is a new person in me. I love God's commands. I do. I love His word. I love His commands, but the old man in me doesn't. I'm just being real. And so the fight is on, right? You get out of bed in the morning, practically before your feet hit the ground, there's a battle happening inside you. And it's real. And so as a result, we tend to swing like a pendulum back and forth day after day between the old and the new. I heard an illustration. It was on Moody Radio. It was actually just this morning. They were talking about, this guy said that he lived in Oklahoma. And he said, I met this family who was from Hawaii. They just moved to Oklahoma, and I noticed their license plate. They had moved here, but their license plate still was a Hawaii license plate. And he said, on the front of the car, they had this other plate about, you know, I don't know, go whatever, aloha, something, I don't know. It was some kind of like real pro, yay, Hawaii thing. And said, you know, even though they are now, they'd moved to a new state, and their citizenship is in a new state, their location's in a new state, they still have this loyalty to where they used to be. That's us, you know? That's us. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that He loves, into the kingdom of light, and yet there's still this part of us that wrestles with that, as good as that is. That wants to have this loyalty to where we came from. So the psalmist says, Lord, I need a discipline that is higher than anything that I have, that I possess in myself. God, I need you to make me go on your paths. I need you to direct me in the path of your commands. But I think this is part of the mark of, it doesn't mean you're not a believer, it means that you are, that this battle's going on. If you weren't saved, you wouldn't care. You'd just be running straight towards hell, straight towards Satan, and you wouldn't even think twice about it. It is a mark of a believer that you are dealing with this battle. Praise God, a day is coming when all that sin and junk and temptation will be gone. And we'll be made like Him, and we'll just enjoy the joy of holiness. Isn't that going to be awesome? Praise God. I am so excited for that day, because, man. But we do live in a difference now as saved people, even though we've got this battle. Before that, even in those moments where I would acknowledge, yeah, there's a Creator, there's a God, and I might even take a moment to selfishly pray. It was praying like the prodigal son. It was just, hey, God, give me something. Give me what I want so I can go off and sin and do whatever, you know. It's just selfish and foolish, but when we come to be sons and daughters, we come to this place where we return, we repent, and we come to God and we say, make me. Make me a servant. Make me obey. Because we know we can't do it ourselves. And He's so good and so faithful. So we pray for that. We pray for that desire. The psalmist, he's just told us, he said, I delight in God's law. I delight in God's law. But he says, I need that to be reinforced and strengthened. And so he says, God, turn my heart. Turn my heart. Some of your English translations might say, incline. Incline my heart. Incline, it means to set up this pattern, this habit. He's saying, God, build this habit in my heart to love your word. We've got this battle, so maybe a soldier's prayer for you today. God, guide me. Guide me on the right path and make me delight in your commands. Make me, God, to delight. I want to win this battle in my life, and I want my life to be in alignment with your word and my thoughts and in my heart and in my body and my soul. God, I don't want balance. I want radical alignment to your word. But God, I need you to do that in me. Maybe that's your prayer today as a soldier. A godly person is also a servant. Verses 37 and 38. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. What kind of servant does God want us to be? What kind of servant is the psalmist praying to be? A discerning servant. You know, one of the laws of spiritual victory is the law of looking the other way. A lot of our temptations come at us through our eyes. At least I can tell you, for men that's the case. I think it is for women as well. That sinful things, a lot of times, they have a great attraction to us. You guys remember that there was an old song in the advertising jingle, "Just One Look." You know, that's all. Yeah, I mean, that's how temptation is, right? With our eyes, we see things and we get tempted. And the psalmist says, I want my eyes to be controlled. Preserve my life. He's saying, revive me, God. Renew an energy in me for your ways. He's saying, God, I want you to make me alive to your ways. And there's this cry of the heart of a servant to his master saying, God, I need you to strengthen me. I need you to strengthen me to do that, to control my eyes. We need to be a devoted servant. Devoted servant. We need to have a healthy understanding of the master-servant relationship. You know, a servant who really gets who's in charge and who God is, that it is humbling. You know, when you realize that God is God in your life and you are not, and that you are a servant, it should give you a healthy awe for your master, for who he is, a respect. And I think that comes into play in how we read the Bible. When you understand that you are reading the word of your master and who he is. You know, there's a lot of different ways you could read the Bible. And praise God that people read it at all. Because God is so good and so faithful. I remember, even before I came to that place of bowing my knee and submission to Christ, I remember reading through the Psalms when I was still utterly in sin back in the day. And even in that, God was using his word to do a work. Even then, he's faithful to his word and committed to his word. But we can read the word of God and then just forget it. That happens. There's a lot of people who read the word of God and they just stay in rebellion and they forsake the truth they just read. Or you can read the word of God and you can kind of remember it, but then you just let it get crowded out by busyness, by other voices, by other desires. But you can also read the Word of God and recognize this is the Word of my Master, and he is wise and powerful and awesome. And so, knowing who he is, I have a reverence and a fear. I never, ever, ever want to go in a way contrary to what his word says to me. Because his reputation's at stake. As I go and walk through this life and I claim the name of Jesus and people look at me and hear me and interact with me, my master's reputation's at stake. And I don't want anybody to slander his name because of me. And so we cry out to the Lord. We say, God, first of all, thank you so much for making me your servant. Lord, I pray, give me discernment and devotion to your word. Do a work of your Holy Spirit in me, Lord, that as I live for you, I can obey and honor your name. God, I want you to be glorified by what I do with your word. A fourth thing that we might recognize today, a godly person is a saint. Verses 39 and 40, take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. A godly person is a saint. This, of course, this is in Hebrew in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, the word saint, hagios, it means to be set apart. To be set apart for God, to be set apart by God, to be holy. And the psalmist is saying, I recognize what the Word of God can do. That it can work in me. And he's saying, I want to be righteous and good and holy, God. He's saying, I want the Word of God to be evident in my life. You know, God, His commands are always good. He's never going to ask you to ever do anything that's sinful. Amen. Ever. Because He's good. His Word flows out of His character, His nature. And the Holy Spirit will work in a way through the Word of God that is in keeping with the will of God to bring about godliness and holiness through His Word, never to lead you into sin. In 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote, All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. God wants to do a work through His Word to train us in righteousness. We're saints. We're saints. Holy people set apart for God, and His Word is key in that. It's crucial. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul urged prayer for all people. He said, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior. Let me say that again. That we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So maybe a saint's prayer for you today and for I. God, I pray that you would work through your Holy Spirit. I pray your Holy Spirit, Lord, would empower your Word, that you would train me in your Word in all righteousness. God, I want to live a righteous and godly and good and holy life set apart by you and for you for the salvation of others, Lord, so that other people can look and what's going on in my life and say they're not who they were. There's something different now that they've started following Jesus. God, I want other people to come to a knowledge of the truth because it's pleasing to you, God. We are God's redeemed people. There's days I don't feel like it because I start listening to my flesh, but we're godly people. We forget sometimes. Then sometimes He reminds me who I was. I'm like, wow. I have come a ways. Got a long ways to go when I look at my Savior. But I'm not who I was. We are sojourners. We are sojourners, and we need and have direction from the Word of God. We need to follow it. We are soldiers. We are in a battle. A battle to keep our lives in alignment with what God says, to live as the people He's called us to be, and we're just servants. We're called to serve God. We're called to obedience to His Word, to glorify His name as His servants. And we're saints. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to live righteously by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pray for us. I don't know what the Lord has said to you. But respond in faith. I know He's spoken to me this morning. Maybe you'd like to pray part of His Word back to Him. Our Father, we are so grateful that you are a redeeming God. And that you have redeemed us according to your plan before the foundation of the world, God. That you would be glorified in our lives, that you would be glorified in your people. And God, your word declares many things about us. But we know at the core of our identity is your word and your spirit. And God, we pray that as your spirit has pricked our hearts today, God, through hearing your word, that you would help us to lay hold of our identity in Christ as your people. That we would live the way you want us to live, God, in alignment to your word, in light of your word, understanding who you are and what you've commanded. Cause us to live in a way that's pleasing to you. Cause us to live in a way that draws people to the cross. Cause us to live and to someday die in a way that exalts the name of Jesus. God, we pray for those who have heard about what it means to have an identity that's in alignment with your word, God, who don't know anything about that yet. Because God, we know that the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned, and that those who would live and understand your word, God, that they have to be saved first. They need to take you up on that offer of salvation, God. And so we pray for those who maybe for the first time are considering the idea that there is a God who cares about them and has a way for them to live and is righteous and holy and yet has made a way through the cross of Jesus for salvation. God, we pray that you would impart repentance and saving faith today. We pray that you would do that, God, for your glory, that we would know, God, that it is by grace through faith that we're saved. None of ourselves. God, I pray, God, just strip away any confusion about the gospel message. Maybe somebody's here today and they're thinking, okay, I understand Jesus died for me, but I got to get my life together first. I need to do these good works. I need to contribute something. I need to come to more church services. God, I pray, just strip every lie away. And every idol, Lord, bring to bear by your Spirit, God, we pray, the simple, profound, powerful gospel message of the blood and body of Christ shed for us, God, and broken for us, for any who would come in repentance and faith and believe, God, that there is new life and forgiveness. Lord, we believe you for that. We trust you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.